الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, we were discussing the issues with regards to الأعذار المبيحة للفطر في نهار رمضان. الأعذار الشرعية المبيحة للفطر في نهار رمضان. The legislative excuses that will allow a person to break the fast in Ramadan. And we have seen a number of issues with regards to this from the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to traveling and likewise sickness, specifically with regards to these affairs. And these are from those excuses that will allow a person to break the fast in the daytime of Ramadan, traveling and a sickness. And we have seen some of the details with regards to that, and that the sickness is different types and there's different rulings according to each circumstance and situation. And likewise the traveling as well, there's different types, and what is included here and what is intended here is the traveling that is legislative, the traveling that will allow a person to shorten the prayer. And we've seen that there are many details with regards to this. Also, there was a great principle that the people of knowledge, they mentioned with regards to these excuses as well. And مَنْ أَفْطَرَ لِعُذْرٍ يَزُونَ وَجَبَ عَلَيْهِ الْقَضَاءِ بَعْدَ زَوَالِ أُذْرِهِ بَعْدَ زَوَالِ أُذْرِهِ. That anybody who breaks his fast because of an excuse that will go away, it's an obligation to make up that fast after the excuse is gone. It's an obligation to make up that day, to make up that day after the excuse is gone. So we have seen the likes of this with regards to traveling and with regards to the person who is sick, and that this is what Allah has allowed, and this is likewise what He has ordered, that it's allowed for them to break their fast, but they must make those days up. فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. So likewise, along with these issues here are the issue related to the issue related to الحيض والنفاس, the blood of the menses, and also the blood of the blood that comes after giving birth, the blood that will come after giving birth. So these are also excuses that will allow a person to break the fast in the daytime of Ramadan. Rather, it's not allowed to fast if this blood is present, and the fast will not be accepted. And this blood here, the blood of the menses, and likewise that of that comes after pregnancy, then this blood will corrupt the fast if it comes while the person is fasting, if it comes while the woman is fasting. And also it's not allowed for her to fast so long as that blood is present, but it's an obligation to make up those days. So the woman who was on her menses or had just given birth, and the blood of al-hayd is there, or the blood of a nifas, it's an obligation for her to break the fast. It's an obligation for her to break the fast, and it's not allowed to fast. And fasting is haram for her and not permissible, and considered an action of disobedience. So the action of obedience and the means for the woman who was on her menses or has the blood of the nifas present with her, the obligation and the action of worship that is upon her is to break her fast and to not fast. Some of the women, they have a misunderstanding and they say, oh, she's shy. She says, one of them will say that she's shy to not fast while the people are fasting in the daytime of Ramadan. And this is from the shubuhat of the devil, trying to make it seem like this is even something good, yani that a person should be shy. But really, a person should be shy from abandoning the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or should be shy from opposing the command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there's no shyness here, rather this is an obligation, and this is deen, and this is what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has ordered. So she will break her fast, and that's an obligation upon her. And if she does that while believing in that obligation and fulfilling that properly, this is a means for her to have a reward with Allah. And if she's abiding by the law and the legislation. The point is that the woman on her menses, and likewise that has the blood from giving birth, from the blood of nifas or the blood of the hayl, it's an obligation for her to break her fast, and fasting is not correct from her, and rather it's impermissible for her to fast, and the obligation upon her is to not fast, but it's an obligation for her to make the day up. So she must count those days that she missed. And she has to make those days up after Ramadan. It has been collected by al-Bukhari from the hadith of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, mentioning the woman, he said, alaysa idha hadad lam tusalli wa lam tusum, is it not the case that the woman, if she is on her menses, she does not pray and she does not fast? And he affirming this affair. So this is something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had clarified. And also it has come in Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Aisha radiyallahu anha, that she was asked about this. She was asked about the issue of the woman who was on her menses, that she will not pray nor will she fast. But along with that, she will make up the fast and not make up the prayer. So Aisha radiyallahu anha, whenever she was asked about this, she said, كَانَ يُسِيبُنَا ذَلِكَ فَنُؤْمَرُ بِقَضَاءِ السِّيَامِ فَنُؤْمَرُ بِقَضَاءِ السَّوْمِ وَلَا نُؤْمَرُ بِقَضَاءِ الصَّلَاةِ. So Aisha radiyallahu anha, she said that this used to occur to us. This used to happen to us in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we were ordered to make up the fast, and we were not ordered to make up the prayer. So this is the case for the woman on her menses, and likewise on the bleeding after giving birth. The woman who has dam al-hayd aw dam an-nifas, that she will break her fast and she will not pray, nor will she fast. And as for the prayer, she does not have to make those up. But as for the fasting, then each day she must make them up. And Nawawi rahimahullah, he mentioned the consensus about this, about the fact that the woman does not have to make up the prayer, but she has to make up the fasting. And some of the people of knowledge have mentioned a wisdom with regards to this, and this is because many prayers will go by her in these days. So therefore, to make all of them up would be considered a type of hardship. And as for the days of fasting, then they are just a few number of days, and it is not difficult for her to make them up. So this is from the wisdom that is mentioned, but in any case, it's clear the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ordered the women to make up the fasting and not to make up the prayer. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the woman, she has, sometimes she will have an idea whenever the blood is coming on her menses, for example. The woman on her menses, that many times she can feel the blood moving in her stomach or in her body. She feels like her menses are going to come. And she can feel, she has this feeling and this instinct alerting her that soon the menses are going to come. So this movement here, the harakat al-dam, and the fact that the blood is moving and she feels that, or she becomes aware of that, this does not break the fast or stop her from fasting. So she will continue if she feels this. She will continue fasting until the blood is present. So there are a few details that people of knowledge, they mentioned here with regards to the blood of the menses, and there are principles likewise. And the people of not, as they say, with regards to the woman, yani that's not on her menses, al aslu baqa al tuhur. You know, this is going to be implemented in certain circumstances that women, they might find themselves in. So if a woman, she starts to feel the blood moving, but she hasn't noticed. She starts to feel the blood, or she's aware that her menses are coming, but they have not come yet. She hasn't seen the blood yet. The people of Naraz, they say the asal here is baqa'u tuhur hatta tatayaqan wujud al-hayd, that the origin is that she is upon purity, meaning she's good, and she's allowed to pray and to fast until she's certain that blood of the menses has come. So whenever the blood is moving, this does not stop her from fasting or invalidate her fast or stop her from praying. Rather, she'll continue until she sees the blood and she's certain that the menses have come. And she's certain that the menses have come. Likewise, in this topic, the people of Nahr, as they say, another principle about this, and they say, وَالْأَصْلُ إِضَافَةُ الْحَادِثِ إِلَىٰ أَقْرَبِ أَوْقَاتِهِ الْأَصْلُ إِضَافَةُ الْحَادِثِ إِلَىٰ أَقْرَبِ أَوْقَاتِهِ. That also the origin or the fundamental principle is that occurrences or events that happen, then they will be ascribed to the nearest time that they occur. And these two principles will benefit a woman if it's coming close to the Maghrib. If it's coming close to the Maghrib and she starts to feel like her menses are coming, she's fasted all day long, she's been fasting all day long, and then as the time for the sunset nears, she starts to feel like her menses are coming. She starts to feel like her menses are coming, but she does not see any blood. And then she continues upon her way, and she breaks her fast after Maghrib, for example, and then prays the prayer of Maghrib, and then after that she goes to the restroom, akramakum Allah, and recognizes or sees now that the blood has come. Now she sees that the blood has come. So the question now that she will have is, what's the ruling of her fast? And what's the ruling of her prayer? We understand the point? And if the woman, she was feeling her menses coming, but she was not sure yet, she did not see any blood. And a few minutes before Maghrib, she's feeling like any moment her menses might come to her. Maybe she's feeling that before in the day. And then as the Maghrib comes closer, then she starts to feel like, you know, any moment that she might get her menses. And she doesn't see any blood until after Maghrib. So what would be the ruling for her fast? This is the issue. So the origin is that the woman, she will remain upon purity until she's certain that the blood has come. Until she's certain that the blood has come. And then likewise, whenever the blood comes, whenever she recognizes it, whenever she notices it, she will ascribe that to its nearest time. So therefore, what is the closest time now for this woman? Before Maghrib or after Maghrib? After Maghrib. So then her fast will be considered good, and she will not have to make up that day. She will not have to make up that day because she was not certain that of the presence of that blood until after Maghrib. Before Maghrib, she was doubtful about that, and the origin is that she's upon Tuhur. She's upon Tuhur. Baqa'u makan ala makan. So she was upon a Tuhur. So that's the origin there. So then the time passed until the Maghrib is finished, and it wasn't until after that she noticed that there is blood, that the blood has come. So now she may have doubts about her fast. Was my fast good or not? So the people of Nahr, as they say, now, since you were certain before that the blood did not come and you did not notice that the blood came until after, then you ascribe that blood to the closest time, and that is after Maghrib in this circumstance. So therefore she will not have to make up that day. So the fact that the blood starts moving in her body, or she starts feeling like the menses are coming, this does not prohibit her from fasting. It does not invalidate her fast. It does not prohibit her from praying or anything else. Only whenever she's certain that that blood has come. Only when she's certain that that blood has come. On the other case, if she was fasting, for example, the whole day, and then it's just moments before Maghrib, she realizes that the blood is there. She sees the blood. Now her fast is invalidated. Now that fast is invalidated and she must make up that day. So now she's certain of the presence of the blood of the menses any before the coming of the sunset, before the coming of the time of breaking the fast. So this will break the fast. If that blood comes in the daytime, the fast is broken. And she would have to make up that day. Likewise, if she became clean in the end of the night, in the end of the night, we have seen this likewise in the hadith of Aisha and Salam radiallahu anhuma, that if she became clean at the end of the night, then she will intend and she will fast the next day, even if she's not able to cleanse herself and take the ghusl until after the fajr. So if she realized that at the end of the night, for example, at the time of sahar or the time of suhoor, that she had come clean, But she has to, for example, fix the food for her family. So she's very busy. She does not have time now to make the ghusl at this moment. And the Fajr came before she was able to take the bath, to cleanse herself. This will not stop her from fasting. Whether she will continue fasting. That day, make the ghusl after the Fajr and pray the Fajr, and her fast is good, alhamdulillah. So this is from those excuses that will allow a person to break their fast in the daytime of Ramadan. But again, they must make up those days outside of Ramadan. Likewise, from the excuses that will allow a person to break their fast in the daytime of Ramadan is al-hamlu wal-radaa. Al-hamlu wal-radaa is pregnancy. It's pregnancy and breastfeeding. But the people of knowledge, they mention about the pregnant woman and the woman who is nursing, that the origin is they have to fast. Now, originally, the fast is upon them. They're only allowed to break their fast if it's going to be an extra hardship or burden for them, or if they're afraid it could harm them or harm their child. Now they will break their fast. As for the woman who is strong and healthy, and fasting, does not affect her or her health or the health of her child, it does not weaken her in a great manner, then it's incumbent for her to fast, and she will not break her fast. And likewise, the woman who's breastfeeding as well, if she's not afraid for her health or the health of her child, and that her child, for example, is not going to harm him if the milk is not there because she is feeding the child, for example, from a bottle. There's no excuse for her to break the fast. She's breastfeeding. If she's breastfeeding and she's also feeding from the bottle, or the child is eating, for example, from the solid food and the likes like this. So now the child is not harmed by the fact if the milk doesn't come. And if the child will not be harmed. He will simply just eat some other food that he's already eating, or drink from the bottle that he's already drinking from. As for the woman who's breastfeeding, and then if she were to fast, she's afraid that this would weaken the supply of milk, and then therefore the nourishment of her child could be weakened, and her child could be in danger because this is his only source of provision, so on and so forth, then this would now be excuse for her. And Allah knows best. Some people have a misunderstanding of this affair, and they think so long as they're pregnant or breastfeeding, they just break their fast, and then they never fast, and then they have much confusion about their fast and about their religion and about their deen. Should they feed? Should they not feed? So on and so forth. So the origin is that they will fast. And if they're afraid for their health or the health of their child, it's allowed for them to break their fast. But their situation is like the rest of the circumstances that have preceded, and that is, it's an obligation to make up the fast. So just as the person who's traveling, or the person who is sick, or the woman who's on her menses or on the blood of nifas, it's allowed for them to break their fast, but it's incumbent and an obligation for them to make that up whenever that excuse goes away. Likewise here, for the one who is pregnant or is breastfeeding, if they broke their fast, it's also an obligation for them to make that day up whenever that excuse goes away. So that which has indicated this is the hadith of Anas ibn Malik and al-Ka'bi. Radiallahu anhu. And he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَضَعَ عَنِ الْمُسَافِرِ شَطْرَ الصَّلَاةِ وَعَنِ الْمُسَافِرِ وَالْحَامِلِ وَالْمُرْضِعِ الصَّوْمِ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Allah Azza wa Jal has removed the obligation, and he taken off the obligation of half of the prayer for the traveler. Has removed the obligation, or lightened the affair of the prayer of the traveler to half. Meaning in the ruba'iyah, the prayers that have four rak'ah, that they are lightened to half and there'll be two. This is what is being referred to here. That Allah Azza wa Jal has lightened the prayer of the traveler to half, meaning the dhuhr and the asr and the isha. It's lightened to half, meaning that it's allowed for them to shorten their prayer and to pray two rak'ah and to suffice with that. This is for the traveler. But also وعن المسافر والحامل والمرضع الصوم. And also Allah has lightened the affair or taken off the obligation for the traveler and the pregnant woman and the nursing woman of fasting. He has removed the obligation of fasting. So here the pregnant woman and the breastfeeding woman is mentioned along with the traveler. So we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has removed the obligation of fasting from the traveler until he's done traveling, and then the obligation of making that day up is upon him. And then the obligation of making that day up is upon him. So just like that as well, here in the same context is the pregnant woman and the nursing woman. So just as Allah removed that obligation from the traveler, the same way here, He removed it from the pregnant woman and from the nursing woman. And just as the traveler has to make those days up, likewise the pregnant woman and the nursing woman. So this is a fundamental principle that the people of knowledge have found. Whenever we look into the texts with regards to fasting, that this is the issue. كُلُّ مَنْ أَفْطَرَ لِعُذْرٍ يَزُورٍ وَجَبَ عَلَيْهِ الْقَضَاءَ بَعْدَ زُوَارِ عُذْرِهِ. Everybody, any person who broke their fast because of an excuse that goes away. If we look into any circumstance, we look into these people who are allowed, any person who broke his fast because of an excuse that goes away, it's an obligation to make up those days whenever that excuse is gone. And this is the case we've seen with regards to the traveler. And the same thing with regards to the sick person. And the same thing with regards to the woman on her menses. And the same thing with regards to the woman on the blood and nifas. And likewise, the same situation here with regards to the woman who is pregnant and the woman who is nursing. The woman who is nursing, they have the same ruling. Even mentioned in the same context with the traveler here who has that same ruling. And likewise, the people of knowledge have mentioned as well that the breastfeeding woman and the pregnant woman, their circumstance is like a sick person. They're in the same state as a sick person. They're in the same state as a sick person. So a person who is sick, we have seen the details of that. There are certain sicknesses that it's not allowed to fast with them. That there are certain sicknesses that would be a reason to forbid a person from fasting. And he would not be able to fast. Likewise, the pregnant woman as well. Likewise, the pregnant woman as well, these women here as well, if they're in a circumstance and the doctor had told one of them, a reliable doctor had told one of them that fasting is dangerous for your health or for the health of your child, now she will not be able to fast. And if she's afraid that possibly it could be dangerous for her, but she's not certain, or that it could be an extra difficulty and hardship for her, now it's allowed for her to fast. As for as if she's strong and she's healthy and it does not bother her at all, fasting any more than normal while she's in this state, then she will fast. And so since she's like the sick person, whenever her sickness goes away, whenever the pregnancy goes away or this excuse goes away, then it's incumbent for her to make up the days only. And Allah knows best, to clarify again, and not to feed. If the pregnant woman, she was afraid for herself, or likewise, the breastfeeding woman, she was afraid for herself, then she will break her fast and she will make up that day only. And many of the scholars likewise mention, if she was afraid for herself and her child, she will break her fast and she will make up that day only and not feed. What is correct is that they are similar to the sick person. So they have the same ruling as a sick person, and they follow the same ruling as the traveler, as is mentioned in these narrations that we have mentioned. It's mentioned in the narrations that we have mentioned. So the only thing will be upon her is to make up that day. And it's from those fatawa that have been mentioned in this case. And the issue of the pregnant woman and the nursing woman, there is a number of different opinions with regards to this. But what I mentioned is the position of Shaykh Ibn Baz and Shaykh Uthaymeen and the Lajna Da'ima, and other than them, that they considered the pregnant woman and the nursing woman to be like a sick person. And a sick person, like the pregnant woman and the nursing woman, they're in a situation that stops them from fasting. And allows them to break their fast, and their situation goes away. So whenever it goes away, they have to make up their fast, just like the sick person and the traveling person. And not to mention the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned both of those women along with the the traveler. And so therefore, their mission along with the traveler, so they have the same ruling as the traveler. So just as Allah, He had taken the obligation off of the traveler, He took the obligation off of the pregnant woman and the nursing woman. He didn't make it an obligation for the traveler to feed. So likewise, it's the same ruling. Whoever breaks their fast in the daytime of Ramadan for a reason that goes away, then after that reason is gone, it's incumbent for them to make up that fast. It's incumbent for them to make up that fast before the coming of the next Ramadan. If they had the excuse continue till the next Ramadan, then they are excused still. Their excuse, will continue. And there's no blame upon them, and they'll wait until their excuse is gone. So sometimes maybe one will say that, oh, this year she was pregnant, and next year she's breastfeeding. So first we have to say for this person to fear Allah. So if you're pregnant, then only break your fast when you need to. Don't just take it as a license and you just break your fast and you don't have to fast, but break your fast if you need to, then you take the license and you break your fast. Likewise, if you're breastfeeding, then only break your fast whenever you need to. So some people have taken this very lightly and they have misunderstood these rulings, and even some of them possibly have abused this and just had sent me because I'm breastfeeding or because I have a child that I don't have to fast. That's not correct. Maybe some of them, they're feeding their child a bottle more than half of the time, and then she's going to break her fast because of breastfeeding. This is not correct. So this is a misunderstanding. So in any case, they have to make up those days. So we could say this year she's pregnant and next year she's breastfeeding. This year in Ramadan she's pregnant and next year in Ramadan she's breastfeeding. So we say that she's excused. And if that excuse is there, then she will break her fast and then she will make up those days after she's not pregnant anymore nor breastfeeding. And in reality, it's easy for her to break her fast, and also easy for her to make up those days. Because now she is free to choose the days that are easy for her. And she can set her schedule in a manner that is going to be facilitated for her. And she could choose, for example, to fast in the winter time, whenever it's cool, and whenever the days are short. Whenever it's cool outside, and whenever the days are short, she could choose those days. Fast two days a week, or 3 days a week, or whatever is easy for her from out those days. And make up that obligation. And the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal is easy and facilitated, alhamdulillah. So now the author, he mentions the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. And this is an answer to a question that could come across our minds now. Is it obligatory for those people who broke their fast because of an excuse to make up the fast immediately? And as soon as the excuse is gone, for example, somebody, he traveled, and then is it an obligation for him to make up those days outside of Ramadan, on the second of Shawwal, for example, as soon as possible, on this earliest day, and likewise the sick person, and likewise the rest of them who broke their fast? Or is there some time? Or is there a time, and it's allowed to make it up in later days, or does it have to be immediately? So the author, he says, "An Aisha radiallahu anha annaha qalat kana yakunu alayya as-sawm min Ramadan fama astati'u an aqdiya illa fi Sha'ban." So now the author, he mentioned the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha, and she says that I used to have days of fasting to make up. I used to have days of fasting to make up from Ramadan, and I would not be able to make them up until Sha'ban. كان يكون علي الصوم من رمضان فما أستطيع أن أقضيه. Like this, in the Sahih it says, أن أقضيه, يعني الصوم. أن أقضيه إلا في شعبان. There used to be days for me to make up. Any meaning from the days that she would miss from her menses. The people of Nar, as they mentioned. And she would have these days to make up from the previous Ramadan, and she would not be able to make them up until Sha'ban, yani until the month just before the coming Ramadan, until the month just before the coming of the next Ramadan. So the people of Najd have derived a number of benefits from this narration. And the first one is that al-qada ma fata min ayami Ramadan yajibu ala taraqi, يجب على التراخي. That is the making up the days that one missed from the previous Ramadan is an obligation, but it's not an obligation that must be done immediately. Rather, it can be delayed. Rather, it can be delayed. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the obligations, a person, he can look at them from a number of aspects. Any a particular obligation, you can look at it from a number of aspects, and from that is from the time that it must be performed. So we have the wajib that is considered muwassa' and the one that is considered mudayyiq, any the time for it. So some obligations, the time for them is very tight. The time that it must be performed is very specific, and there's not much time for that. And there's not much time for that obligation. So this one has to be performed in its proper time, and it cannot be delayed. And it cannot be delayed. And other obligations, they're called, if you walked in muwassa', yani that it has time, that it can be delayed. It can be delayed. And from that is making up the days of Ramadan. So it doesn't have to be made up immediately. It doesn't have to be made up immediately. And the evidence here is the fact that Aisha radiallahu anha, she would not make it up until just before the coming of the next Ramadan. She would delay that. And this is apparently something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was aware of and affirmed her upon with regards to. So then this is the point here. The whole year is time for making up the days missed in Ramadan. The whole year after Ramadan is time, meaning between the end of the Ramadan until the coming of the next Ramadan, that whole year is a time for making up the days. A person can make them up in any one of those days except for on the days of Eid and on the days of At-Tashriq. On the days of Eid and the days of Tashriq, it's not allowed to fast these days. So these days it's not allowed to fast, not even to make up days from Ramadan. Any other day in the year is a day that a person can make up the days of fasting that he missed from the previous year. The days of fasting that he missed from the previous year. So it would only be, the time would only becoming restricted or become yani tight if a person delayed, for example, he has 7 days to make up and they delayed it till, for example, the 20th of Sha'ban. Now the time is getting tight. So before he was in a state of ease and he could make up the days as he likes, but now he has to start making them up immediately. And if there's nothing remaining until the coming of Ramadan except for the amount of days that he has to make up, now it's an obligation for him to fast those days. He cannot delay anymore. He cannot delay anymore. So long as any the coming of the next Ramadan is far off, then a person, he has ease in his religion with regards to making up the days that he missed from the previous Ramadan. But if the next Ramadan is coming closer and closer, then that time becomes tighter and more restricted until it could become an obligation for him to fast. Any specific days. So also the people of knowledge, they mentioned from this narration the issue that it's not allowed to delay till the next Ramadan. That it's not allowed to delay till the next Ramadan for the fact that Aisha radiallahu anha, she would delay it all the way to Sha'ban, but not go past that. And if it was allowed to go past that, then she would go past that. Then she would go past that. In some of the wording she mentioned, the reason why she would delay the making up of those days, من منزلتها من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, because of her position with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, meaning that she would always be concerned with him and taking care of him and ready to fulfill his needs at all times. And ready to fulfill his needs, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and take care of him at all times. So for this reason, she would not make up those days until Sha'ban. Until Sha'ban, meaning that this is the last opportunity. After that, a person would be considered sinning if they were to delay it until the next Ramadan without any excuse. If a person, he had days to make up and the whole year went by and they did not make them up until the next Ramadan entered without any excuse, the whole year or the enough of the year they were healthy and they were strong and their residents and the likes like this, they have no excuse whatsoever. They could have fasted, that only negligence had prohibited them, then this is considered a sin. So therefore they must repent from this. They must repent from this, and likewise they will make up those days after the next Ramadan. They don't fall off. They don't fall off. They'll make up those days after this Ramadan coming. And they must make them up. They must make them up. The majority of the scholars, they mention also in this circumstance, the person who had days to make up and he delayed them until the coming of the next Ramadan negligently and did not make them up, and did not make them up out of negligence without any excuse, along with repenting and along with making those days up, they will also have to feed a poor person every day. They will also have to feed a poor person every day. And this is the position of the majority of the scholars. And this has been narrated from Ibn Abbas and Ibn Umar, and likewise from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhum. But a number of the scholars have mentioned that Allah knows best, this is something that's recommended and not an obligation. The majority of the scholars, they find it to be an obligation. The majority of the scholars, they find it to be an obligation. But some of the Salaf, they did not consider it to be an obligation. Rather, they carried any of that understanding of those noble companions, radiallahu anhum, to be considered something that's mustahab or recommended. That's mustahab or recommended. From them, Al-Hassan al-Basri, and likewise, Ibrahim al-Nakhai. And also, this was the position of al-Bukhari. And this is what is apparent from what he mentioned in his Sahih, mentioning this affair and the position of al-Hassan al-Basri and Ibrahim al-Nakhai. And then he mentioned that Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, فَإِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَامٍ أُخَرٍ. And he didn't mention anything else. So the one who broke his fast because of an excuse in Ramadan, Allah, he told him, he mentioned about this person that they have to make up those days from other days outside of Ramadan, and didn't mention anything else. And didn't mention anything else. So based upon that, they have understood that the only thing they will have to do is to make up that day. And then what has come from the narrations or the fatawa of those noble companions, radiallahu anhum, this is considered to be from the aspect of something that is recommended, and Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. So these are the excuses that will allow a person to break the fast in the daytime of Ramadan. There are a few issues the people of knowledge, they mentioned now, likewise with regards to this person who broke his fast in the daytime of Ramadan, and he had an excuse. He had an excuse. So the person who was allowed to break his fast, he has a legislative excuse to break his fast in the daytime of Ramadan. What is his ruling if that excuse goes away in that same day? In that same day, for example, he was sick in the morning and he was not able to fast, and he took some medication and got some rest and then woke up and he felt strong and healthy again. Or he was traveling in the morning time and by dhuhr time he's at home, for example. Or a woman, she was on her menses in the morning time and then she's clean by asr time. She's clean by asr time. So in the morning time, they have an excuse. The person who has an excuse in the morning time to break their fast, and that excuse goes away in that same day. What is the situation for this person? Will they have to start fasting immediately whenever their excuse is gone, or what will they do? What will they do? So the people of knowledge, they mentioned that this person here, they have more than one situation. The first one is if they are fasting. This is not included, the woman on her menses. But for example, the traveler or the sick person, if they have an excuse to break their fast, but they did not take that excuse. For example, a traveler, he's traveling, but he chose to fast. Or somebody who was sick in the morning time, but he went ahead and fasted. So if he began the day fasting, although he has an excuse, it will be allowed for him to break his fast. But his excuse goes away. Then it's an obligation for him to continue fasting. For example, a person who he himself is traveling. He's traveling, but this morning he decided to fast while he's traveling. So he's fasting while he's traveling. And if he likes, he can break his fast anytime, correct? Anytime before his travels are finished. So this is his case. He's free to break his fast. And he's free to not even fast. He can wake up and not be fasting. Or if he fasts and then he's fasting through the day, it's allowed for him, if it gets difficult, to break his fast while he's traveling. So we'll say the person is fasting, he's traveling, and then at dhuhr time, he gets to his house. He gets home. He gets back to his city. And he makes it to his home at dhuhr time. So now his excuse is gone. Now his excuse is gone. It would not be allowed for him to say, "Oh well, I was traveling today. I can break my fast now," right? He does not have that permission anymore. So the permission was with him so long as he was traveling. Now the traveling is gone. And he's fasting, he must continue. It's an obligation to continue fasting. It's an obligation to continue fasting. We understand this issue? On the other hand, if the person, he was not fasting. He's traveling and he chose to not fast. And then he comes home again. He leaves out in the morning time while he's traveling and he chose to not fast. And he comes home at dhuhr time. Is it an obligation now for him to make him sack for the rest of the day? Or is he allowed to continue breaking his fast for the rest of the day? We understand? A lot of the people, they may say it's incumbent for him to make him sack because of the sacredness of that day. But Allah knows best what's allowed for him is to continue breaking his fast. He will continue breaking his fast, this person here who's traveling, because he began the day with a legislative excuse. He began the day breaking his fast with a legislative excuse that there's a proof and evidence for. He broke his fast based upon an excuse, with an excuse that there's a proof for. So that permission is not going to be raised or removed except for with the proof. So there's no proof here. So he continues breaking his fast. It's not incumbent for him to make him sick. It's not incumbent for him to make him sick. Same thing with the woman on her menses. For example, she was on her menses in the morning time, and then sometime in the daytime, for example, before dhuhr, she became clean. So now it's not an obligation for her to make him sick for the rest of the day. It's not an obligation for her to make him sick for the rest of the day. No doubt they will both have to make the day up. Now the point is not about making the day up. The point is about what would they do now whenever their excuse is gone in the daytime of Ramadan. So the people of Nadas, they say that the proof here, the permissibility was allowed. That يعني أذن لهم بالفطر بالدليل فلا يرفع هذا الإذن إلا بالدليل. That they were allowed to break their fast with the proof and evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah, and that permission would not be removed except with an evidence. And there's no evidence saying that. Yani now the likes of this person is not allowed to continue, yani upon the fitr. And likewise, that has been narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu anhu, that he said, من أكل أول النهار يعني في رمضان لعذر. من أكل أول النهار فليأكل آخرة النهار فليأكل آخرة النهار. It's collected by Ibn Abi Shayba. So Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he said, whoever ate in the beginning of the day, then let him eat in the end of the day. And he meaning that whoever broke his fast for a legislative excuse in the daytime of Ramadan, then let him continue that. And Allah knows best. So therefore, This is what is best. The woman who was on her menses and she came clean in the daytime of Ramadan, she does not have to make him sick for the rest of the day. And the man who was traveling, he broke his fast and then he came home in the daytime of Ramadan, he does not have to fast for the rest of the day. A person who was sick in the morning time and then he took medication and he got better. He does not have to make him sack for the rest of the day after his excuse is gone and Allah knows best. Although they will not do that openly. A person, for example, if he was traveling and then he came home in the daytime of Ramadan, it's allowed for him to continue with the rukhsah. He was traveling and he broke his fast and then he came home in the daytime of Ramadan, it's allowed for him to continue with his rukhsah. But he will not do that in public or in front of other people where they would think bad about him, or where they would have suspicion about him, and the likes like this, whether he would do that yani by himself. And likewise, the woman who's on her menses, yani they would not just display this and the likes like this, but they were in their home. It's allowed. It's allowed. Alhamdulillah, it's allowed. And the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal is easy. And Allah knows best. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.